Father, which art in heaven, we are grateful to be before thy throne of glory this evening. We thank you, Father, for the time we've had to gather to study your word and to consider the thoughts of Jesus as he strove to teach us about how he was going to forgive us and therefore how we could be forgiving to others. We pray, Father, that you would give us such a spirit, especially among our own brethren, that we treat one another with grace and mercy and compassion as you have so greatly and richly bestowed upon us. We ask, Father, that you would guide us in the walks of life that we go, that we shine that same spirit in the light of Jesus Christ to all men that we come in contact with, and to know that when we come across someone who is in sin, that they are in the same place that we have been and need the same mercy and the same forgiveness that we enjoy through Jesus Christ, our Savior, from your gracious hand. Father, we are thankful that we have this time together to glorify you in song and in prayer and to hear a message of your word that is encouraging us to be faithful unto you and that might draw a tender heart to respond to the gospel even this evening. May we always, Father, be in harmony with you. And when we fall out of harmony, that we will be sensitive to that and that you will show us the error of our way, so that we will quickly return to you and ask for that mercy that you want to bestow. Father, please be with those who are away from us tonight and not able to be here for several different reasons. Certainly, Father, those that are elderly, and we know that it is difficult for them to get out all the time. We pray that you would watch over and care for them while they're away from us and help them to be back with us again at the next appointed time. We're thankful, Father, for Randy and for Brendan to be able to return, for Brendan's recovery. We pray that that might continue to go well for him. And now we ask that Jarrell fully recover and be able to come back and be with us even this coming Lord's Day. Help her to regain her strength and be well for walking in this life. Father, we pray that you would go now with us and receive the worship that we offer to your glory, and that may our lives always be a glory unto you, and that we continue to be an edification to our brethren, encouraging one another in our walk of life that leads to the throne to which we pray at this time. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, turn in your songbooks to number 72. I'm sorry, 73. Sweet Hour of Prayer. I know with this group, y'all wouldn't mind if we sing one more song, so we'll sing all three verses of this song, and this is where our lesson is going to come from this evening. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, Lord, calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tender snare. My thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joy I feel, the I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With torch I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face. And gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. So the author of this song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, the song actually first appeared in the New York Observer on September 13th, 1845. And that's the date that's down here, 1861, but with William H. Wofford in 1845. The inscription that came with it is a little suspect because it said that he was a blind preacher, and they went back and looked and they couldn't find a preacher from the place that the inscription said it was. So there was a preacher there, H.H. Wofford, but he was a Congregational minister. His name was William Wofford, and that's what's attributed here. But he did write a prayer book, and it had a lot of these same sentiments in it, and that's, I believe, how he got his name. But from the book that I found this in, it makes a very interesting statement. I just want to read it as we think about this evening. There's yet another mystery, a deeper one, connected with this hymn. It's the question Jesus asked Simon Peter in Gethsemane. What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? If an hour spent with the Lord is so sweet, why do we race through our day prayerless, then squeeze all our requests into a 2-minute segment at bedtime? If prayer is so powerful, why do we neglect it so consistently? An oft omitted verse to this hymn says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joy I feel, the bliss I share. Of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. And that was the second verse. So I want to look at some of the phrases in this song as we think about it. I know when Jason was here, he did a very good lesson talking about
understanding the songs that we sing. And I think this is a good one to just take a look at some of the encouragement that we can gain from it as we go through our week and go through our lives. In that first verse, there in the second stanza, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and often escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. So what the author is saying is there's so much that we get, but we come before the Father's throne. And as we go to God in prayer, that's where we are. We're before the throne of God, and we cast on Him all of our cares, everything that's all of our wants, all of our wishes, all those things. We bring to Him, we let Him know those things. Now, God being God that He is, He knows the things that we need. He knows what we're asking for. But it's us coming to Him. It's just like what we talked about tonight with repentance. It's going through that action, going through those things, letting God know, having that communication with God. That's so important, and that's what the author of the song is bringing across. Because there's great joy, as you said here in the second verse, the joy I feel, the bliss I share. By bringing those things to God, by knowing that a power greater than us has control of those things, and we're putting our faith in Him. That's in the third verse. To Him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek His face, believe His word, and trust His grace. And that verse ends, I'll cast on Him my every care and wait for Thee, sweet hour of prayer. So as we think about this song and we go through our lives, there's a lot that we need to think about with prayer. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 61. Of course, the book of Psalms is filled with prayers from David, and this is one of those prayers. To the chief magician on a stringed instrument, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. David was truly a man after God's own heart. And we see that in so many of the psalms that he authored. Psalm 51, as we mentioned tonight, talking about his repentance before God for his sin with Bathsheba. The prayer that he offered, that he penned, that we would be able to read. And just so many more prayers that he had when he was on the run from Saul, asking for God to protect him. All those prayers. And we see David putting his complete trust in God in everything that he did. He laid everything before God, everything that was on his mind. Turn, if you would, now to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So here, the Apostle John is telling us that this is confidence that we can have. If we go to God in prayer, If we have that right relationship with God, we can go to Him in prayer, and we can ask anything according to His will. Now, there's a caveat to that. It's according to God's will, not according to our will. And we see that example played out very well with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what He was about to go through and endure. And He asked, "Let this cup pass from me, if it be your will. But if it's not, then help me to bear it. If it's not your will that it pass from me, I will bear it, I will do it." And we know that Christ went to that cross for us. So prayer is a powerful means for us to talk to God. Think about the importance of that. Think about Jesus. How many times do we see Him going to God in prayer? I mean, I know we read after He fed the 5,000, He went up into mountains very early in the morning, you know, even before the sun came up, and was praying, prayed a long time, so much so that all those that were still with Him were wondering where He was. Where did you go? Because He had been gone for so long. We see Him do that often. He made the time to go and pray. In our lives, I know, you know, all of us have hectic lives going on right now. But that's one thing that we can't let linger, as that statement from the book that I read. You know, we can't let that just go by and just haphazardly throw everything in a 2-minute prayer before we go to bed so we can say that we prayed today. That's not what God's looking for. God's looking for those hearts that are wanting to be obedient to Him. And He wants that communication with His creation. He wants us to talk to Him and let Him know our cares, our concerns, and to lay everything at His feet. And He wants us to know that we can have confidence that He will answer those things according to His will. So as we think about prayer and we think about this song and the words of the song, it's just we have that peace in knowing that we've laid everything before our Creator, the one that holds everything within His hands, that has the power to do whatever it is we ask of Him to do, if it's according to His will. And like I said, it may not be the answer that we want. We see that example with Paul, with a thorn in his side, as he prayed that it may be removed, and Jesus said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you." So he didn't ask for it anymore. But as we see Jesus, we need to do the same. We need to go to God in prayer. We need to make that time. We need to take that time. And it needs to be, you know, there are times when, as Nehemiah, when he was before the king, he had to turn, say a short prayer. "God, be with me as I'm talking to this king. Help me say the right things." You know, we don't know exactly what he said, but he said a short prayer. And he turned to the king and gave a good answer, one that the king respected. But that's in that moment when that tempter is coming, or we have that come up. But we need to set that time aside, as we see Jesus do, to go to God in prayer. Have that just in our mindset and in our lives. So as we start this new year, I hope we all, myself included, think about that. Think about, you know, what we spend and how we spend our time in prayer, and the importance of it. That it is something that God wants us to do. So tonight, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, and you need to make those things right, we haven't talked about that, but getting that repentance that we talked about in class, that is of uttermost importance, to have that, to be obedient before God in that way. And if you are a Christian and you've fallen short and need the prayers of the congregation here, we're, as we talked about in class tonight, we need to be willing, and we ought to be willing as a group here to help you with that. And if it's something on a private nature, take that opportunity to go with God. We don't know when we may have another opportunity. So now, if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand up.
Let's pray. Dear our wonderful, merciful Heavenly Father, we come to you with humility and with thanksgiving of the peace that you've given us in being able to come to you through prayer. We thank you for the words you've given to us, that we can take comfort from it and learn from it as we continue to grow in faith, and that we can use that faith to give us even more hope in our regular lives here on this earth. We thank you for the country you've given to us, that we can worship you without persecution. We thank you for the ability we still have to come together and meet with our brethren, that we do not have to compromise and find ways to worship you in difficult situations. We ask that you help those who are in those situations throughout the world that are willing to come to you but are being deterred by other powers. We thank you for the comfort you give to us, knowing that you are in control. We ask that you continue to help us to be encouraging to each other. We ask that you help us to live in accordance with your word in all our walks of life. We ask that you help us to be patient and have wisdom in our dealings, and help us to keep prayer in our lives regularly so that we always come back to you no matter where we are. We thank you for sending your son to die that horrible death for us so that we can have this hope and this relationship with you. And in your son's name we pray. Amen.